All right, let's go into the Word of God. We started looking at this ministry of life, that there is something we have from God. There is a life that you and I now have. It is not the normal, regular human life. In fact, the Bible calls that life Zoe. It's a different kind of life. It's not the regular human life. No. This is the life of God. You know, some people call it eternal life. But technically speaking, everybody is eternal in a sense. The devil will not die in that sense, you know. And even people that die, they will not fully not exist. You know, all those annihilation things that people talk about, you know, everybody will not just exist. That's not true. Somehow you will exist. It's the kind of existence that happens. So the Zoe life is not just eternal life. It's a life of God, because everybody somehow will exist. Everybody will live in eternity, so to say. People that are going to be in hell, it will be an eternal matter. But you and I don't just have eternal life. We have Zoe. We have the life of God. We can come to things and breathe into those things, and they will catch life. We can come into places, and by our interaction with those places, life will bud. There are people listening to me. You are going to handle things, and just like you are seeing plants bud and spring show forth, when you handle those things, there will be spring. Life will spring forth from death. God will bring newness from old things, in the name of Jesus. So we are looking at the ministry of life, and we started last week. A very interesting journey, and I encourage you, if you were not here last week, go check it out. Let's start our journey this morning from John chapter 1 again. We read a bit of that last week. And this morning I want to talk about the Word of Life. Last week I spoke about the ministry of light, or you can call it the light of life. Today I'm speaking about the ministry of the Word, or you can call it the Word of Life. John chapter 1 verse 1 to 5. John chapter 1 verse 1 to 5. The Bible says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him was life," the Word that was with God. "In Him was life, and that life was the light of men." Verse 5 says, "And the light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it." That's what this translation says. But I like the translations that say, "The darkness could not comprehend it." It's not that the darkness did not. The darkness lacked the power. The darkness lacked the capacity. The darkness lacked the intensity. There was a superiority to the light that the light swallowed darkness. There was a premiumness or an advantage that that light had over darkness, that it doesn't matter how thick that darkness was, the darkness will bow at the light. And so if you are hearing me tonight or this morning, that there is a superiority to the light of this life that can swallow darkness. And by darkness, we mean anything that is the absence of that light. And so when you see darkness at work, when you see darkness at home, when you see darkness even in your body, you need to understand there is a light that works like a vacuum cleaner, and it can suck out that darkness and make sure that that darkness does not exist there. You know the way vacuum cleaners work. The vacuum cleaner will look like it's not doing so much, but if it glides over the dirt, it will suck in the death. And if the light glides over the darkness, there is no darkness that is permitted. it lacks the constitution to be able to say, no, excuse me, I want to take an exception. I'm not going to be sucked out. I want to prophesy right now to somebody that any area where there is darkness, I decree and declare, let the Father of lights, let him shine on that area in the name of Jesus. In Psalm 16 verse 11, Psalm 16 verse 11, the psalmist says, you will show me the path of life. There is a path of life. There are things that make this life work, but God has to show you. God has to illuminate you. Your spirit has to be turned on. Light has to come on your candle. There are many things that many of us are looking for. It's not far, we are just not seeing. The problem is not distance, the problem is sight. Because as far as your eyes can see, that's what you can have. The reason we have not sometimes is because we see not. If you see, you can have. If you can perceive, you can become. Remember, Elijah was saying, I want the double portion. And the man said, Elijah said, what you have asked is a hard thing, but if you can see me, you can have it. There are many things that many of us are asking for. It is if you can see. It is if the light can open up. Because the thing that is keeping you away from that thing is darkness. Because you see, the realm of the spirit does not have distance. There is no time there. It's not like, Pastor E, I need to get to December. You can take a step from here and you can show up in December. Is the Bible not say Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever? Do you think it means that when you go to records, you find that Jesus Christ was the same there, and then maybe now when you move to today, he now becomes, in his own realm, there are no yesterdays, today, and forever. In his own realm, everything is the same. So if you walk with him, who is the light of the world, one of the things that you begin to enjoy is that we can compress time, we can shorten distance, we can shorten process, we can make restoration, we can make the things that will have taking time, take God, so that God will now show that he's the one that controls time. You know what? One of the things that the miracle of Lazarus rising from the dead in John chapter 11 was trying to do. You know, Jesus delayed to go in time. Right? Jesus did not go when he needed to go. Just like some people listening to me, God has not done something, so to say, when you thought he needed to do it. Sometimes the thing God wants to do is that he will still do what you want him to do, but he wants you to understand that I got time. I have control of time. I can adjust time. I can make sure that when I come, it will be the right time, because our times are in his hand. And if he shows up, he calibrates time. So when he shows up and says, I am the resurrection and the life, he say, I am the timekeeper. I am the one that when I shows up, I will change time. I can say fall backward when it's not backward. I can say spring forward when it's not that time. That is what I did with Sarah. Sarah was supposed not to be able to have child. I took Sarah back. I took several years back. And I can take you forward. That's what I did with David. David was not supposed to be king, but I added time to him. I gave him an advantage. So when I show up, I will show up as somebody who has control of time. You are getting under pressure because of time. He's not under pressure because of time. He lives outside of it. He can dominate it. And that's why that when the Bible says, when the light shines, it can swallow darkness. I'm still praying again for somebody that will take it. That in the name of Jesus, every area where there is darkness, may the light of God swallow that darkness in the name of Jesus. So you will show me the path of life. So there is a path of life. There is a way that you can move, that life will now function the way it should function. And by life, we're not just even talking of life, everyday movement, everyday. No, the life that is in God, there is a path to it. There are ways to it. There are things, there are elements, there are things that you need to interact with to be able to enjoy the life. He says, you will show me the path of life. The first thing we see from that statement in Psalm 16 verse 11 is that life, the real life that we have, you have to be shown. You have to be shown. That's why there's light. That's why one of the things you need to start contending for again and again is light. Sometimes when things are not working, Don't complain. Contend for light. I want light over this thing. What is the illumination in this matter? You will show me the path of life. There is a path of life that you can show me. There is a path of life that I can be open to. I can see something I didn't see yesterday. I can come to church. Something will be highlighted in my spirit. I can come to church and something will quicken up in my spirit. I can come to church and my darkness can receive illumination. And so I will have a better decision and a better direction. You can show me the path of life. So the path of life starts with being shown. And there are other elements to this path of life that you see all scattered through scripture, especially in that John chapter 1 that we just read. That John chapter 1 says, one of the things that enables you to walk in this path of life, he calls it the Word of God. He calls it the Word with God. And he even calls it God himself. He will show me this path. I will find this path. Because this path, it may be seemingly open, or it may be seemingly available, but it may not be obtainable. It has to be shown. Something has to happen to me that I'll be able to maximize this Word of life. In Psalm 119 verse 105, the Bible says, your word is a light unto my feet. So that means we will start with saying, light me up. But when we even now get to the word will also be lighting our us. Because sometimes people don't understand that the Word of God also has an illumination to it. You don't understand that you can bring the light of God even without even too much prayer by bringing the Word of God. Because the Word of God in itself has light in it. And it says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. Thou will show me the path of life. Your word is part of that path of life. And if I stay in that word will light my path. I pray for somebody that is confused in this house. You don't know which one to choose. You are in between decisions. A or B. Good or this. I want to decree and declare, God will illuminate your path with the Word of God in the name of Jesus. Now, I need to tell you that it was this word that became flesh. John chapter 1 verse 14. It was the Word of God that became flesh. And it didn't become flesh in the days of Jesus alone. That word can still become flesh today. The way I'm speaking now, if you can receive it, this word can become tangible. That's what that scripture means. It says, and the word became flesh or became tangible. The word does not always stay with God. If that word can be engaged properly, that word can become tangible. There are sometimes some people who say, how do I connect Sunday to Monday? If you know how to stay with that word, Sunday can enter Monday. Because we read in the scripture that the word that was with God in the eternal past, that word became flesh. And when that word became flesh, the Bible said it walked into the neighborhood. The word had an animation. When the Word of God becomes tangible, when the Word of God becomes flesh, one of the things that you begin to see is that in the neighborhood, we'll see results. Sometimes you might have received insults. You might have heard things that seem to question and seems to put a question mark behind God. But let me tell you, when the Word of God becomes flesh, your question mark will turn to an exclamation mark. If you are hearing me this morning, I want to prophesy that in the name of Jesus, there are people listening to me. You have a question mark. Why has this not happened? But in the name of Jesus, in a very short time, God will turn your question mark into an exclamation mark in the name of Jesus. It was the Word that became flesh. It was the Word that created the worlds. It was the Word that created the worlds. I need you to understand that the Bible says in that John chapter 1 verse 3, it says all things were created by Him. Even today, all things are still being created by Him. If you need any creation, you need to just hang out with the Word enough. Even when God wanted to create this new man, the man that has this new life, He used His Word. We knew that in Genesis chapter 1, God created everything with the Word. But the new man that we are in Christ Jesus now It was a production of the word still. It was the word that became flesh. And the Bible said, if you read that, John chapter 1 and 12, it says, they that received this word that became flesh, he said, they have the power to become the sons of God. And it's these people that have become the sons of God that have the life of God. So it was this word that created in Genesis. It is this same word that created when the New Testament started. So it is the same word, and it can still create. It has creative powers. He didn't create in those days, and now he can't create. The word can still create. If you understand how to engage the word of God, you need to know that the word can still create. The Bible says also that this word is a two-edged sword. This word is a weapon. My God, this word is a weapon. In fact, the truth of the matter is that every weapon in the kingdom, no matter what that weapon is, you need the weapon of the word of God to be able to handle that weapon. Every weapon in the kingdom, give me any weapon. Breastplate of righteousness, give me any weapon. Shoe of the spreading of the gospel. There is no way you will use any weapon in the kingdom of God and you will not use the word of God. There is a dimension of that weapon that has the word of God as the unlocker. As the word of God too is a weapon in a sense, just by itself, but every other weapon will operate by the word of God. And so, ladies and gentlemen, the word of God is a two-edged sword. Hebrews chapter 4 and 12 says that we know that this word is a two-edged sword. It can pierce. It can get to places where you can't get to. There are some of you, there are places you can't get to, and you bother yourself so much about it. You don't know that if you can have the word, if you can use the word can get behind where you can't get to. There are places you can't get to. There are things you can't say. There are things you want the people that you need to tell, you don't know them. Sometimes you know them, but you can't tell them. But thanks be to God. The Bible says, for the word of God is living, is alive. That word is not dead. Do you know that this Bible may be printed on dead trees? It might be from trees that we get paper and all of that kind of thing, and they had to cut the tree and they are not living. But the thing inside, the content is living. The container may be dead, but the content is living. So the word of God is a two-edged sword. It is the word that became flesh. It is the word that created the world. It is the word that is a two-edged sword, a weapon. It is also this same word that is more sure word of prophecy. Hear me, child of God. I don't care any prophecy. I don't care who said it. If you can find it in the word, if you can find a word, if you can get a word from God, you can fight any prophecy. I can tell you stories of people that I know that know God and seemingly hear from God. They have said some prophecy, and I, by the reason of my relationship with this word, I know it was not consistent. And just using the word, I didn't even go back to God and say, God, show me something counteractive to that guy. I just went to the word, because this word is a more sure word of prophecy. There are sometimes some people say, tell me what is going to happen in the future. I can't tell you what is going to happen in the future. Forever, oh Lord, your word is settled. If you can find it here, you can find it in your life. If it is written, it can be seen. If it is in the word, it can be in my world. So if I find it, it is a more sure word of prophecy. I want to read this scripture to you. First Peter chapter 1. Remember that Peter was with Jesus. And Peter was, I like Peter. I think I would have been somewhatly like a Peter if I was in the disciples. Peter liked to experience everything. Me, I will use all the options, you know. You go to a hotel, I will use everything. If I rent a car, I will use all the options. The cruise control, everything, I will use it. If it has cool, I will turn on cool. If it has heat, I will use it. Every option I like to use. So Peter was this kind of guy. And then this is Peter, the one that maximizes options. First Peter chapter 1, let's start reading from verse 16. First Peter chapter 1, verse 16. The very sure word of prophecy. Sorry. Second Peter chapter 1 and verse 16. Make it snappy, please. Okay, he says, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says, But we were high witnesses of his majesty. We saw the fullness of his majesty. We saw his glory. What we are telling you, we are not telling you stories. We are telling you of what we saw, what we handled. Keep on moving. He says, for he received from God the Father honor and glory. When such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. You know, many people sometimes say they hear audible voice. Most times, maybe 90% is not audible voice. It's your perception that felt it was audible voice. This one is audible voice. This one is a voice. If you were in the neighborhood, you will hear. So can you imagine the spectacularness of this? Now, keep on moving on. Is showing you how the word of God is and the priority of the word of God. I need you to understand that in the equation of what God does, God has many expressions and many manifestations and all of that kind of thing. For example, this word that we heard from the excellent glory is a manifestation of God. All right? Now, but there are other manifestations of God that he wants to open us into. He said, we heard this voice which came from heaven. When we were with him on the holy mountain, we heard the voice. And you remember that holy mountain, not only did they hear the voice, they saw. The Bible said he was transfigured before their eyes and his raiment was glistering. And then there was company. They saw Elijah. They saw Moses. They came to meet with him. These were other mountain people too. You remember that Moses is a mountain guy? Sinai, he was on the mountain for that long. You remember Elijah too is a mountain guy? He was on Carmel for, you know, bringing down fire. So they came to join him and said, welcome into the mountain world. Amen to Jesus. So they brought him into that realm. So this was very spectacular events. Very spectacular. But he now is telling you that all these manifestations of God in order of priority, on a priority list, they still come under what I'm about to show you. In verse 19, it says, so we have this prophetic word confirmed. Another translation says, we have a more sure word of prophecy. Give me King James. This one is not giving us the way we want it to be. Give me King James, the original King James, KJV. And by the way, you can read King James and still be living in the life of King Charles. Can somebody say amen? Because some of us, we want King Charles, King Charles. It's okay. You can read King Charles. You know, King Charles version. You know, King Charles is the new king. But this King James is an old guy. And we can still read the old one. And we are still fine. Amen. He says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed. As unto a light. The word of prophecy we have now, scriptures, the Bible, is a more sure word of prophecy. And in this word, if you take it to it, your life, if you understand, especially where I'm going this morning, your life will be like in the morning, in the dawn of the morning, when everything looks like it's dark. You remember the eclipse and all of that. Some of you were running over there, want to see eclipse. Just stay in Jesus. We will see plenty of eclipse. When Jesus comes, there will be some kind of eclipse, all right? You know, so, and we've read in scripture that when Jesus died and the veil was torn into two, there was eclipse, there was darkness, okay? So we are good to go. But when you take heed to this word, this very more sure word of prophecy, the Bible says, you'll be like a light that is shining in a dark place. That means when there is darkness sometimes, when I don't understand something sometimes, when I can know how to take heed, when I can know how to relate with the scripture, the way especially I want to show you to this morning, when I know how to do that, I will be like a lion. Sometimes people will think I am slow, but it's like a decoy. It's like a joke. It's like a mirage or a cover-up. They will not see me coming. And somehow, I will start evolving. He says, I will be like a light shining in the dark place until the day dawn and the day star arises in your heart. that means if I was not there when they were there on the mountain with Jesus, I have something that is bigger than what they have. Because some of you, there are people listening to me, you have heard some people have spectacular experiences, share spectacular things. Even sometimes in church service, you know, sometimes you see some people, they will be manifesting, God will touch them and it will look like it's visible. And some of us were just like that there, you know. I remember when I was a young boy, I used to sometimes when I see people fall down in church, I'm like, who pushed them? What happened? Or crying is the crying one. I mean, for the longest time, me, I will not cry. And I will be feeling like my spirituality is not very deep. Because there are some people, as soon as they lift up their hands like this, the tears will start rolling down. And me, if I like, let me lift up every part of my body. I may not cry. In fact, I'm trying to remember. I don't know if I've cried in church before. I cry. Amen. Oh, I cry. And sometimes it's not for sadness. I cry too. Sometimes I'm singing a song with God, only me. And I cry. Sometimes I feel like I should bring it to church. So that some people say, we too spiritual. But don't worry, I just put you on. But you see, sometimes I may not have the spectacular, but if I have the scripture, if I take it to the word, it may not look like your own. In fact, I may come to church and think spiritual activity may be happening and I may not see nothing. And don't get me wrong, I'm not saying manifestation of the spirit is belittled. In fact, I want to see more in this church. I want to see more with everybody in this room. I want you to be able to go to work and see things and know things that you did not learn. But I'm telling you, in the priority of events and in the priority of manifestation of God, this more sure word of prophecy is higher than those things. It's higher than those things. Do you know, if you don't see, if you don't hear, and you believe, you are greater than the person that saw and heard. Blessed is she that believeth. Blessed is he who did not see. That's what Jesus told Thomas. He said, okay, come and touch. But your touching does not make it like, now you are a scientist. That proved it. No. The person that couldn't prove it but believed it, that person is better than you. Because sometimes some of us will feel like, I wish I lived in the days of Jesus. Jesus will say, I'm glad you didn't live in my days. I'm glad because you have a more sure word of prophecy. There is something surer. There is something more solid than those things that they saw, those smoke. The Bible said there is something surer than that. And that's what I want to show you this morning. This word of God is what became flesh, what created the world, two-edged sword. This same word is sure word. This is the sent word. He sent his word, and his word healed them and delivered them from all their destruction. Psalm 107 verse 20. This word is that word that he sent. Now, why is it that this word does not seem to work in many lives? Pastor, you know, you're just coming and say, I read Bible every morning as religious. I've read the Bible through and through. Why is it that what you are saying is seeming like you are hyping this thing more than what is? But I want to show you a dimension of your relationship to the Word of God this morning that you may be missing. It's a dimension that takes you beyond a casual associator with the word to someone who goes deep and who explores. And that phenomena, that thing, is what I call searching the scriptures. Searching the scriptures. The word of God, to get the most of it, you have to leave the surface. You have to get in. You have to get deep. The word of God is like a treasure. You have to mine it and refine it before you maximize it. If you just take it at face value, you may miss the most of it. There are dimensions to the word of God that will only open up to the searchers, to the people that know how to search. Because there is a searching dimension that has to happen with the word for the word to profit you. it's not every word that is written in the Bible that you can just go line and sinker and be just be saying. You need to search to find your word. Many times some people will just open the Bible, just say, ah, so and so said this because he said it in the Bible, then that means that I must say it. No. I mean, if you read the book, the writings of Solomon, you will know that it's not everything that they say in the Bible that you must say. You will know that even every time somebody speaks in the Bible, they are not speaking for God, but they are recorded in the Bible. Because some people, I was watching one joker, and he was kind of trying to make room for polygamy and trying to use the Bible to back it up. But the Bible never read through your Bible. There was no time that the Bible ever sanctioned polygamy. Every time you saw those polygamy happening, men were being rebellious one way or the other. I remember the time that they eventually asked Jesus and said, this one, I married that one. Jesus said, in the beginning, it was not so. Look at how God gave you a prototype in the beginning. So everything you now saw, but David was a man after God's heart, and David had this. Calm down. Calm down. Go and read it well. The reason why the Bible has not been profitable many other times is that we are just taking it at face value, or we take it at what the other person says. Pastor E said, my favorite guy that I watch on YouTube said, nothing wrong with that, but you need to search. You need to be a searcher. That's where I'm going this morning. Where I'm going this morning is telling you that the word of God will profit you when you can search. Why do I need to search the word? Let me give you a few reasons. Number one, it is only those who search that find. I can tell you the truth. There are many things God has for you. It is hidden. It is not in plain sight. It's hidden in plain sight, but you have to search. We call that hidden thing mystery. There are mysteries about you. There are mysteries for you in the Word of God. You will not find them just being casual or being lazy. No, you have to be intentional and give yourself fully to it. You have to search. You know, in our days, when the Bible went from different level of, I'm using this word without the other meanings that it can, evolution, you know, and I'm talking of the presentation of the Bible. There was a time the Bible, or even the Word of God, was on stones, you know, tablets. Then later, it got to scrolls. In the days that it was scroll, some people knew the Word of God for them. For you to find the Word of God for you in a scroll, it means you have to, because the scrolls are not like chapterized. It's not like, oh, this is chapter 1. Go and take that chapter 1 scroll. No. This is the book of Isaiah. So you will take a full scroll and you will now be opening it. So for you to know where it is written there, you were searching for it. But nowadays, we have left flipping these pages, you know. Now we are flipping the tablets, or the modern day tablet. And you will still find that people don't know where it is written there. They don't know where it is written there. And I'm going to tell you this morning that it is those who seek that find. It's those who search that find. There is a searching that is necessary. Matthew chapter 7 verse 7. Matthew chapter 7 verse 7. The Bible talking about searching. That there is a beauty to searching. If you search, you will find. There is a beauty to searching. It is not just looking, but spirited, persistent, sensitive, hunting for a word. I am looking for a word. When I find it, I will know that I found it. Because it will speak. I am looking for a word. When I come to church, I am looking for a word. In fact, that is why when you have to deal with God, you have to be sensitive. Because your word may not come in the beginning, yours may come in the end. There are people that their word will come from the usher. That's why sensitivity is very key. You are searching, you are searching, you are searching. I have been to places before. I have read books before. It was only one scripture that was my own there. I remember several years ago when I was, you know, God had told me that I was going to be speaking his word and all of that kind of thing. But I was just like, maybe I'm making this thing up. You know, there were many things happened, but I felt like, no, maybe. So I'm like, God, tell me. But you know, I have limitation as a human being. I'm very shy. I was giving excuses. And in those days, I would just enter into my dad's library. which was his room. He had some shelf thingy there. And I walk up to a book. In fact, sometimes I would just stand in front of the shelf like this. And I'll just be looking. I've not touched this book. Suddenly, I'll just feel like, let me open that book. And that's how I opened this book. It's like a commentary. And then I landed on Exodus 4. And it was as if God was answering the question I had prior to that time. Am I not the one that made the mouth? Because those were the questions I was telling him, that I cannot speak. And he was almost answering, am I not the one that made the mouth? Am I not the one that made you? Do I not know what you can do? Do I not know what I put inside of you? I found my word. There are some of you, if you find your word, it will change everything. You see, there is something that comes from when you begin to search like this. When you search and when you find. Every other thing may not change, but you have found it. Every other thing may still look like the same way, but you have found it. Because when you find it, what you found will find its tangible companion. Isaiah chapter 34, verse 16. The Bible says, search from the book of the law and read. Not one of these shall fail. None shall lack a mate. Sometimes people read this and they're talking about marriage. You can't relate it. But what it is saying is this. When you find it in the word and you really search to find it, what you have found will become, it will find its practical side. That word will be accomplished. That word will find its mate. That word will become flesh. And that flesh will be made manifest. So search from the book of the law. Hear me, child of God. That matter that you are growing through, have you really searched? You know, sometimes some prayers are in unbelief, some spiritual activities are in unbelief, some fasting is unbelief. You know why? Because you are just responding naturally. You are, if I'm in trouble, I should be beginning to pray. And there are sometimes some people call me about some things, and I don't say anything for a while because I'm searching. That's how we do business in this kingdom. We search. Sometimes they ask me, Pastor, what are we going to do about this? I say, I'm still searching my spirit. I will open the word. I will also allow the light of God to be illuminating my spirit. And I'm searching. If I find it, I will know. Because if you play this game, if you stay in this kingdom as some kind of religious stuff, you will waste it. You will waste the fullness of the life that we have in Christ. The life we have in Christ is powered. The Bible says there is a path of life. And one of the paths is light. One of that path is the word. And the word that you are going to use is not just go and read the Bible. You search for it. You search with your spirit. With all the sensitivity. What you are even searching may not be that you are opening the Bible. You know, sometimes, this is how I search personally sometimes. I'm praying in the spirit. And I'm searching in my spirit. I want a scripture to be to bubble up. There are many scriptures that I've been reading, but one will just bubble up. One will just come out. And when it bubbles up, I know that this one is not from my mind. I know that this one is not from my reading. This one was a result of spirit search. It is those that search that find. That's why we search the word. We search the word. It is those that search that find. Why do you have to search? This one is one of the most important. You search because you are looking for the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You are looking for the Rhema word of God. The word of God is not always the word of God, from God. Should I say that again? The word of God. Oh, wow. That's even better. The word of God is not always the word from God. You need the word from God when you want to really do serious business. It is still the word of God, but it has to be from Him for you at that time. You remember in John chapter 1, the Bible says there was a man sent from God. There was a man. And just as there's a man sent from God, there are words sent from God. And it's those words that power you, that gives you strength. Remember that in Matthew, when Jesus was being tempted by the devil, in Matthew chapter 4, the Bible said that Jesus answered the devil and said, in Matthew 4:4. It says, man shall not live, or this life that we have in God, man is going to be able to prosecute this life by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. That is how this life will find expression. Words that proceed from God. Living word. Living word. Not just dead word. Because you see, let me tell you the truth. This word can be dead. Even Paul said it. Paul said, the letter kill it. The letter is ink on paper. He said, but the spirit giving life. The spirit giving life is when that ink on paper leaves ink on paper and becomes animated. And this happens only when you get a word from God. Every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. You are going through an issue, a word proceeds out of the mouth of God. It quickly starts what inside of you. Sometimes some people will be telling you, you don't be smiling. Because you, that one came from God. It is of God, but now from God. That's why we search. You are looking for that word from God. The word that proceeds from Him. It proceeds from you, from Him, about that situation. That situation that you have, it proceeds from Him. You just have that anchor. It says we have this anchor for our soul. It's this anchor that gives you rest. The reason you can rest is because you have a word from God. It was Paul that was speaking in, I believe, Acts chapter 28. Or is it 20 now? It says the angel of the Lord stood by me. It says the angel of the Lord stood by me. It says, and I know that because the angel of the Lord stood by me, there shall be no loss of life. I have a word from God. There is a searching that the word of God has now come from God to me. And when that word comes to me, it must definitely become flesh. So why do I search the scriptures or search the word? I want a word that proceeds from His mouth. I want a word that proceeds from His mouth. That's why if you religiously do quiet time, make sure that it is quietness from human beings, not quietness from God. Because your quiet time should give you word from God. Because it's when you get those words that you have marching orders. I have my marching orders. Word from God. There are some things I have done in my life. The only thing that was in my favor was a word from God. On the natural, no word. In fact, sometimes the feedback in the natural is contrary to us. But we walking not by sight, but by faith. Because faith cometh by hearing, and not just hearing anything, hearing the word from God. That's what builds faith. Why do I search the word? I am looking for the word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. I'm not just reading the Bible. I will read, but I'm searching. I will read, but I'm searching. Remember Isaiah chapter 34 and 16. It says, search the book of the Lord and read. Your reading is so that you will search. Reading is a strategy to be able to search. Reading is not the end. Searching is the end. You are searching. I'm looking for something. I'm looking for something. I'm looking for something that will make me live in Chicago as if I'm not living in Chicago. I'm looking for something that will give me the exemption even in the place that I find myself. There is something. There is a word. I'm looking for it. That's why we are searching. Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Because every word of God will not be void of power. Every word from God. The words that I speak to you. That's what Jesus said in John chapter 6 verses 3. He says they are not just words. They are living things. He says they are spirit. They are life. Is it not the same way He created man? He said He breathed into man and man became a living soul. He's now saying the word from me has the same capacity to turn a clay. That turned the clay into a living soul. This same word has that same capacity. The word I speak unto you, they are spirit. And so I want the word from God. I want the word from God. So that's why I don't play religion. I don't just do because they told us to do it. Oh, no. I am searching. I am searching. I am searching. Why do I search the scriptures? To get a personal word. To get a personal word. Let me tell you the truth. The word of God can come to all. The word of God. But the word from God has some specificity to it. It comes to some. It comes to one. My word God gave me my word. God quickened my word. Even if everybody's, but God has given me my word. That's what happens when you and I know how to search the scripture. We get personal word. We get a word that is just customized to us. You know, one time I was kind of contemplating, why do we have four gospels? Why not one? They are saying the same thing. In fact, some people will call it synoptic gospel, meaning they see in the same way. Synoptic. Similar optics, you know. So they see in the same way. Why do we have four? Because of personality. Because the gospel according to Matthew, somewhatly, is for people that are reading Matthew, but it's also for Matthew. The gospel according to Mark is for people that will read Mark, but it's for Mark. And let me tell you, God still wants to write new gospels. You don't need to put it together in a book, but you can live it. Your life can become that living gospel according to Emmanuel. The gospel according to your sin. Where the Bible and the word of God is not this theory that you are. Some people will be debating, you'll just be smiling. Because there are some things that some people have limited to explanation, which should be experiences. So you leave explanation alone and enter into experience, tangibility, handling it. That's what happens when you search. You get into realms where you experience it. And may we not be men and women who hang around God and are just commentators. We are historians, people that are archaeologists, just talking some big grammar words, but not experience it. I want to experience. I want to feel it. I want to interact with it. Even if I can't, I don't have mind to talk about it, but I want my life to experience it so that people will see Jesus that is still alive. That is why we search the scripture. There is a way that the scripture can come to life. It is not just reading. It is reading with the eye. I have to find something. It's a posture. Everything will still look the same. You will still read. You still open the Bible. You still come to church. You still hear the word of God. You still listen to that. But you are looking for something. Now you release your antenna. That's why we started with light. You could have asked and prayed and Lord, illuminate me. Light me up. You pray. So when you start to read, you are reading from a lighted position. You have been lit. You now have light. So you are looking for something. And when you find it, you find it. When you find it, it will speak. When you find it, there are things you will not need to explain to some people. There are people, when they find some things, pew. Do you know it was this search that led to what we call Protestant church today? Before now, everybody was in the Catholic church. And the word Catholic does not have to be bad. It just means universal. Everybody was in a church called the Universal Church. But there was a man named Martin Luther. Somehow, he began to search. He was looking for a personal word. He was looking for, in the word of God, he was looking for the word from God. And then he stumbled on scriptures like Romans chapter 10. I believe it's verse 17. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 38. The just shall live by faith. What? Before, all those people that be reading the same book had been saying, you have to pay for your salvation. There was all kinds of atrocity in those days, how people got salvation. In fact, some people, they will tell them, you have to pay penance for your sins. And, you know, they just brought all extracurricular activity to the world, the same word of God. But there was a man that just searched. And then he searched. And then he searched. And then he searched. Then he wrote this thesis. And that's when, you know, everything broke. And the rest, like they say, is history. Because a man searched and found the word from the word. Okay, it's Romans chapter 1, verse 17. You know, he found the word. And that word was that the just shall live by faith. Why do I search? To get my personal word. To get my personal word. The Bible speaking in Psalm 105 verse 19. Psalm 105 verse 19. It said, for Joseph. Joseph was in the prison. Joseph was in a hard place. But the Bible now said his word came. Ah, can I pray for somebody this week that your word will come? Hi! The Bible says, until the time that his word came. That means there was the word of God, but the word from God needed to come from the word of God. Until that time, the struggle continued. Until that time, it looked like it was not. You know, there are some of you listening to me this morning. Sometimes when people look at your life, it will look like you are not working. You look like you are a lazy person. I mean, sometimes result is a very annoying thing. Without result, effort looks like wasted effort. In fact, sometimes you cannot justify your effort. Sometimes. Some people will look at you and you know human beings, they can give you commentary. That's when they now start telling you, if you had lived your life well, by now you have been married, or they won't say to you. They see some people, some young people nowadays, they're not living their life anyhow. They will now say they want to marry. When everybody, and it's almost like they are telling you, hear what I'm telling you. I'm speaking about somebody, but you are the somebody. Because of your result. But when your word comes, when your word comes, instead of you fighting that person, I go and look for your word. Oh, pastor, lay hands on me. I can lay hands on you, but if you find your word, you will lay everything on your life. Your life will change. Because until his word came, he said everything was normal. He said everything was normal. But when his word came, the Bible said the king sent for him. I can imagine when his word came. The king said, we are not sitting down until this guy comes in. It was now urgent. Ah, when your word comes, everything will now be happening like it must happen now. Some people will be looking for you. I have seen things in my life before. I'm like, I've been here before. How come this is now happening now? How come you are now doing this? What happened since all these days that I've been suffering? But under the time the word came, I've shared some stories with you that in this same city, there are some things that I've seen and some suffer that I've experienced in this city. And I'm like, why? Sometimes when I could not even eat. And you will cook food that, you know, some beans that they eat in Africa. You will now cook it. There's nothing to eat with it. And you now see ketchup. And you see that the color of ketchup looks like the color of what they're supposed to put in that thing. And then you eat the beans with the ketchup and convince yourself. After all, some people eat baked beans. This is like baked beans. And then there are days now that we are now saying that we must fast today. Those days, there was no we must fast. I mean, you know, Pastor tells me one of those days that some people used to think I don't eat. They always fasted. Sometimes the fast is not a commanded fast. It's a converted fast. You know, there are fasting when there is no food, you just convert no food to fasting. And so I'm wondering what happened then and why it's now like this. Do you understand? Why it's now like, oh, somebody say, ah, you have now married. Chief story, John. You don't even understand. There are some realms that is beyond advancement in age. No, my word has come. In some of those areas, my word has come. And there are some things that I'm still like, God, why is this happening? I'm looking and searching for my word. And hear me. When that word comes, you too will see it now. Oh, there are some things God has said concerning Victory House. We are still holding on to him because we are waiting for the word to come. And when that word comes, it will light upon this old congregation in the name of Jesus. My friends, the word of God is powerful. The reason it hasn't worked is that you are only dealing with the word of God. I want you to move to the word from God. You can get it. It is a search. Daniel said, I, Daniel, understood by the books. I searched. I found out. I searched. Jeremiah said it like this. Jeremiah 15:16. It says, your word were found. Why did I find them? I was looking for them. I found them. Let me ask you, have you found them? That matter, have you found the word? I'm not saying, have you read the word? Have you found the word? I want to get married, Pastor. I need to get married. Find the word. I thank God for my sister that said, Pastor, you're always ahead of me. You think sometimes I always call her, I say, the Lord said. No. It's always like I'm preaching like this. That's what she meant. So I hope you heard that. It doesn't mean that I always say, oh, the Lord said. No.
It's just the word. It's just this word. So as I'm speaking, she finds her word because she came there to find word. She didn't just come there to do church. Because sometimes some people come to church to do church. They came to church to take pictures. You know, it's one of the days we dare the best. Especially today, that the weather is it. Some people are almost saying, Pastor, finish now, finish now, finish now. Let me take my picture. Don't run from taking picture. But don't only find picture. Tell your neighbor, say, don't only find picture. Find your word. Sometimes when you are sad, don't be quick to get happy or joyful. Find your word. Because when you don't find your word, you cannot sustain what you now have. It is when you find your word that you will sustain it. It says his word will be the stability of our times. That's where you get stability. That's where you get stamina. Because there are some things some of us are going through. If God were to just do a miracle for you, it will still go. There's no way to sustain it. You don't have what can hold you. Remember, it's the word that created. And the word that created is the word that sustains what was created. All things were consist in that word. So find the word. Find the word. Jeremiah said, I found your word. I ate them. So when you now find that word, you stay with that word. You stay on that word. Because you see, whenever you read the word, and the Bible says, and the word became flesh, you will soon think that immediately the word was with God, and the word is from God. The word suddenly became flesh. Go and look at the history. It was hundreds of years, but they stayed with the word. Even God stayed with the same principle. He found the word that your seed is going to bring redemption, the seed of the woman. This word that became flesh was first spoken in Genesis chapter 3. And that word did not become physical flesh until several hundred years after. But many prophets were staying. They kept staying. They stayed with it because it's the word from God. Isaiah came and Isaiah said, for unto us a child is born. In fact, at some point, they started saying that word as if it has happened. Because when you find it, you can say it like it is here now. You can speak it in the past tense. If you find it, that he himself took upon himself my iniquity, my sin, and by his stripes I was healed, or I were healed, like somebody said. He said, if I were healed, I is healed. If it has happened, it should be happening. That's it. So you keep saying it. You stay with it. That's how to walk with the word. Let's go. Let me leave now. The word of life will help you enjoy the path of life. The words were found and I ate them. It was when I ate them that they became my joy and the rejoicing of my heart. I will find them. The eating there part of it means I will stay with them. I will not be casual with it. I will not run away from it. I will not give up. We are not of them that run back. We are not of them that depart. We are not of them that go back. But we are of them that stay. We are of them that remain. That is how you and I, we begin to experience the fullness of this word. And let me just give you maybe one way or two ways of how you can search the scriptures. How can I search? You are not saying I should read. You are saying I should search. Is there something you can give me to help me? Some of it, God will give it to you. It will be a personalized dealing. I can say something general here, but God can give you some things. For example, God can say, whenever you are reading scripture, in the next 2 weeks, play this particular song. Why? That song will light something on the inside of you. You will not be reading Bible, just reading it without light. Light will be here. And that light will be powering some things so that you will find. But let me show you some of the way that you can search and then you can find. I'll close shortly. Worship team, you can join me here so that I will know that I've overstayed my time. Jeremiah 29:13. How do you search? How am I going to get this word of God to become word from God? Jeremiah chapter 29,
verse 13. Jeremiah 29, 13. It says, you will seek me and find me. You will seek me in the word and you will find me. Why? When you search for me with all of your heart. Hear me, child of God. If you are going to do this searching, it will take all of you. It will not take some of you. It will not take most of you. It will take all of you. That is why doing some of this thing with distraction is not a good practice. It's not a good thing to do. That is why reading this word and doing every other thing, you are not really doing the word. You are doing the Martha ministry where you are busy all over the place. And Jesus is saying to you, only one thing is needful. Give it time. Then give it focus. Do it with all your heart. Do it with all your heart. What does it look like if I do it with all my heart? I am doing it if I find anything that this thing tells me that I should correct. I will not correct the word. I will correct my life. Because some people, they make exemption. Ah, forgive your enemies. Ah. No. Jesus has forgiven my enemies. But me, vengeance is the Lord, and vengeance is mine too. Me and the Lord, we are both doing vengeance together. You have to read with all your heart. If you read with all your heart, even when you can't do it, when it is hard, you say, Lord, help my unbelief. Help me, Lord. Even when it's not convenient, I will do as commanded. That is when you do it with all your heart. And God is saying that you have been reading this thing with some of your heart. But read it with all of your heart. Search with all of it. Give it everything. It will work. Some people, the way they read the Bible is that, or you, they do God is that, if God works, praise God. If it does not work, I will do like Saul. I have my plan B. And if my plan A does not work, which is God, my plan B will work. Let me answer you. Just go and do your plan B, because plan A will not work. The way plan A works in this kingdom is that plan A is the only plan. If there are other plans, those other plans will be waiting. In fact, they'll be fighting plan A to work. So just go and do plan B. Forget plan A. I used to pray this prayer one time several years ago. I say, I put all my eggs in one basket. And I put all my basket under that one basket. So if it fails with God, it fails everywhere. I don't have any other plan. If God fails me, believe me, I don't have plans apart from God. If God fails me, I will fail. As in, there will be no way to recover that failure. Because I don't have any other plan. God is my only plan. And that's how you search. That's how you find. So some things I have found, it is when there was exclusivity. Let me tell you this. God likes exclusivity. How do I find? I search with all my heart. I want you to stand up on your feet.